1-2 pitch. Red Sox win the World Series.
This time Manning going deep for Beckham Jr. Can he catch it? He did!
I mean, what a day. Just a great day to root for the undisputed best team in the NHL. It really is just the sun is shining, the birds are chirping. I mean, I had to sit through that entire trade deadline talking about the Rangers might have more star power than any team in recent memory. And I slept just as well last night as I did the night before and the night before and the night before. So life's pretty good on my end, Tom. How are you doing?
Doing fine. Not deterred by the events of Saturday. But, you know, congrats on the win. But, you know, I wouldn't say you got a true taste of the Rangers. I will say that we only dressed 11 forwards, 5 defensemen. We were double shifting Kreider on the fourth line just to so we could have a full line out there. No Keandre Miller. And yet we still outshot you guys. So it wasn't like it wasn't fun to watch that I wanted to, you know, do things to my television. But just because it's a rivalry game and that's always how I'm gonna be. But I took it in the context of the game and it wasn't like burn this team down and the season type stuff that people are like, oh, see, they went out there and they got everybody. And they still can't beat the Bruins. You know, why even try? It's like, dude, if you really see what the lineup we put out there, our fourth line had 2 skaters on it.
Right. I mean, your defense was shaky. You were obviously shorthanded and your bottom six wasn't what it normally is. But I mean, surely Patrick Kane went out there and lit the lamp. I mean, I heard all week about how I can't remember. It might have been you. Oh, wait, it was you. About how he and Panarin just had that chemistry right off the bat. You know, they were line mates before. It's going to be right off the bat, man. It's going to be like nothing you've ever seen. So clearly one of those two guys scored.
So both of those guys right now don't like shooting. And like that entire line that's playing right now together, Trocheck, Kane and Panarin.
Can you remind me what you pay those guys to do?
To play hockey?
No, more specifically.
To put points up, which
no,
they do. Which
no, they do. You pay them to shoot the puck, if I'm not mistaken.
We pay them to score, but you can also help your team by passing.
How do you score a goal in the National Hockey League?
By shooting.
Okay. So where I'm feeling this disconnect is you have informed me that Artemi Panarin and Patrick Kane are not big fans of shooting, and I've been told by you just now that you pay them to score goals, and the way you score goals, by your own words, is shooting. So you see where the disconnect, you see where I'm getting confused, Tom.
I get it. So
it seems as though they should simply do that.
Game is they're both pass first. That works really great, and they've had some really good looks. They haven't connected yet, because both of them are looking for the other one every single time they touch the puck. And like, I love it, but also like, I was saying in the Boston game, and then what was it, Ottawa, when Kane made his debut. I want them to set up a power play where they just game it and scheme it to Kane so he could get the monkey off his back and score in a New York uniform. Because I think that is like looming over this line right now because, I mean, like they haven't lit it up right off the bat, right? Like the Chicago days. But at the same time, I'm by no means worried about them figuring it out whatsoever. Like they're gonna figure it out. You know, and also like to do it against the best defense, the best team in the league, It's like kind of a tall order, but I think what that line needs to do is they just need to designate somebody as like the shooter. Cause as great as they all are with passing, they do have to shoot the puck and put the puck in the net. And I don't know why the adding Kane seems like they've stopped doing that all of a sudden. It's like they both got wicked shots, so use it. But anyway.
The shooter. I'm the one guy on the team who shoots. They call me the shooter around these parts.
Yeah, like something. Like they seem like they're making it too complicated a little bit out there on the ice, and that they're trying to force passes too much. I saw like five passes of Panarin's get intercepted. And there are usually games where like you're like, holy shit, how did that get through? Never mind like intercepted. Mm-hmm. Like he, you know, his passes have eyes. So I think that Panarin is taking it upon himself right now to get Kane going and to welcome him to the team. And I think Kane is in a way being respectful and being like, you know, this is not my team. This is not Chicago. So I'm going to like play nice in the house that was already made for me type thing. And I'm going to, you know, show that I'm here to be a team player. Again, all great. But the fans want to see goals, so start shooting. And I'm sure, you know, they've been taking this time off since Saturday after a back-to-back with Philly and Ottawa, and then, you know, one day off going to Boston on the road. All these games, I don't think we've had a fresh lineup and a full lineup in a week and a half because of salary cap issues. We had Braden Schneider in the minors just to make the salary cap work for a game. You know, I'm ready to return to normalcy, and I'm hoping that would kind of like, you know, get things going a little bit, because I don't want to see this two-man fourth line and you know, Mikkola playing with Fox because of a ridiculous hit by Austin Watson that of course went undisciplined by the league.
Sure.
And yet Lindgren is still hurt, but I digress. Keandre Miller spits on a guy that was, you know, he came out saying it was by accident, and Doughty was also like, yeah, no worries, man. Like, I get it. Like, it's the guy who was spat on and he gets three games.
Yeah.
And then Austin Watson takes the guy's heads off and they're like, you know what? You know, shouldn't have had his head down. Like,
yeah,
no, like certified piece of shit, wife beater, Austin Watson.
Get him. I mean, that story, well, we'll talk about the spit story before we get back to the game, because I had watched that clip a lot of times myself. I never for one second doubted his explanation at all. Like, I feel like, you know, you watch the video, it seems pretty blatant. Like, I don't think his eyes quite go to Doughty. Like, I think his eyes are like just to the side of Doughty.
Yeah, but and he kind of really like skates into it, and it's like, it's just like if you've played hockey or baseball, even where you're just spitting constantly.
Exactly.
And it's just like a reflex. And so like there's a pause in play. It's almost from what I remember. It's like from playing baseball, pitch goes, it's a ball. I'm turning around. I'm playing in the dirt. I'm spitting to the side. I'm, you know, it's just to
and keep then there's Drew
the
Doughty.
Rhythm of the game.
Oh, shit,
and then
all man, of a sudden, bad.
Yeah. And then there's Drew Doughty. And it's like, it's crazy because the refs missed like three high sticks in that game, but they see spit land on Drew Doughty's face. Like, come on.
It's I instantly chalk that one up to that is a no fault car accident.
It is what it is. Like, and now Keandre will be back, but
like we just happened to collide on the dead dividing line of the lanes, because I just went like a little bit like outside my wheelhouse and you went a little bit outside your wheelhouse, and it was just enough for us to meet in the middle. Like that. Yeah. I mean, from the jump, I was like that's nothing, especially with the statements after. Well, I wish NHL league discipline being a joke was a new concept, but
yeah, right. Like we've already touched on that a billion times, and not what we wanted to focus on in this episode, but
and yeah, even like if you think of it like a car accident, or you think of it of like a minor criminal charge, like there is only discipline if the party that it happened to decides to press charges. And immediately Drew Doughty was like, I am clearly not pressing charges on this. And then still, here comes down. I still say Shanahan, even though it's not Shanahan anymore. I still just like him being the face of player safety, even though I know he moved out of that role like a long time ago. But fucking Shanahan coming down and being like, here's three games. Oh, okay. This leaves nobody happy. I mean, this does not help anybody.
No. Nope. Not at all. And you're right. It's like both parties are like, oh, don't worry. We'll go, like, going back to the car accident metaphor. Both parties are like, oh, we'll just settle this. You know, we'll very, very casual. I'll give you $500 to repair your bumper. Like, right. No, there's big no deal. Reason don't to gotta get... go through insurance.
And exactly. Then the no NHL is coming through.
It's like, hey, Progressive here. You want to file a claim? It's like, no, fuck you. We already handled it like human beings. And now you're going to make us resent each other because I have a claim out now. And you're, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, it's just bullshit. But Keandre's back. Fuck it. Like, let's just get back to playing hockey with a full roster and see what this team can do.
Can we? Okay. Before we get back to the game, we're getting sidetracked again.
Yeah.
I'm like already like that metaphor even got me angry. Like, can we talk about what a fucking scam car insurance is? Like,
oh,
is there anything else that you pay this much money for that punishes you this much for using it? The once every 3 years you have to use it.
Yeah.
Like,
no.
I was just thinking about that situation right there where, like, you get into a fender bender. It's like clearly like a couple hundred bucks worth of damage. And what you're supposed to do is file a claim, pay your $500 deductible, which is what you would just be paying in the first place if you didn't get anybody involved. And then you're paying an extra $40 a month or $100 a month after that for your fucking car insurance.
It only really saves you from, like, totaling your car. Like, that's the only scenario where it's like, thank God I have insurance.
Right.
But any other scenario, it's a pain in the ass. And it honestly, it's like, you're like, why am I even paying this? Because it's not helping me whatsoever.
No, not even remotely. And I did get into one of those not quite totaled accidents, but like a couple months ago as in an accident that was like, it was a pretty good amount of damage. Like, I saw the shop reports for my car and the other guy's car and everything. And then, like, I had been clean for 7 years before that. Mm-hmm. And they just double my rate out of nowhere.
Yeah. Like,
and like, thank God, like, we said Progressive before. Progressive did me fucking dirty. I was ready to be a Progressive customer for life. They fucking lost me on that. But now I went ahead and got the Patrick price. I'm with State Farm now. You might have missed, I went on Instagram Live and did the decision, and all the proceeds benefited the Boys and Girls Club. But for those wondering, I am now with State Farm.
Very good. It's also like, there had to be some, like, the insurance, I mean, they are in the pockets of politicians.
Correct.
But like the fact that, like, it's like illegal to not own insurance. Like, shouldn't that be a choice? Like, I don't understand the rationale other than a CEO of a insurance company was buddy buddies with politicians that are like, hey, you know what would really help my business? If you made everyone have to get my product.
Well, now you're libertarian showing a little bit, and I don't blame you, but let's talk through this a little bit.
Well, if it doesn't fucking help me, why am I bound by law to have it?
Because your insurance covers the other guy's car.
Yeah, but like we said, you're not totaling the guy's car, it's...
Right.
But I mean, yeah, no, it's who's at fault, who, whatever, but... But if, like, I want to fuck up my life, let me fuck up my life, governor.
That's a good point. Yeah, if you just had, like, the freedom to, like, okay, I'm going to drive without insurance, and I am putting myself in the position, I'm assuming the risk of, I might go out and T-bone a brand new Mercedes Z-Class today, and I'm going to be $75,000 in debt from that. I mean, I see where you're coming from. That might be your choice. That might be your prerogative. That might be a choice that you should have the freedom to make. However, I was talking myself out of it by being like, you get hit by a guy who has $20 in his pocket, then what? But it's like, no, if it's like, okay, you are going to hand me a bill that says you owe me $75,000 for this Mercedes, and if you don't come up with it, I'm going to go to collections. Like, maybe. Like, that, I could see an argument for that being your choice. I don't know why anybody would make that choice, personally. Although, I'm sure, now I'm talking myself out of this, too. I just took another highway off of that, being like, I don't know why anybody would assume that risk. But then I thought about it, and it's like, well, the total amount of damage I've caused to my car and others since I've gotten my license is probably 2% of what I've spent on fucking car insurance premiums since I got my license. So maybe you're right, Tom. Maybe you're right. Maybe I just talked myself out of every counter argument I just had to that.
I mean, you're rolling the dice without it. No one's denying that. But I mean, your example, it's I guess that's why you pay for the insurance. It's because when that bad event does happen, which is like not likely. However, if it does happen, like, you are fucked. You know what I mean? So I guess you could say you're paying for peace of mind.
You realize that that is like literally like the description of any kind of insurance, like exactly what you just said, right?
Yeah. So okay. I'm like, again, like, I'm talking, both of us are talking through this as like a thought experiment, and we're like coming around on one end of, and then like, we're just sinking to the other. And like, it's just like a continuous circle right now. We're like, yeah, insurance is fucked up. And, but you know, like, if things do go bad, it's good, but like, then it's so expensive unless, and if I don't use it, then what's the point? And we're just going in circles right now.
So here's what's funny about where we both landed at the end of that conversation. I think I started pro insurance and ended anti-having to have insurance.
Uh-huh.
You started anti-insurance and you came all the way back around. You literally, mm-hmm. you started with no one should have to have insurance, and you ended with, okay, if there's some cataclysmic scenario where you get into a major car accident and someone else has to pay for it, maybe there should be a system where you put like a little bit amount of money each month into insurance, and then they foot that bill when it comes. It's just paying for peace of mind. It's like, yeah, Tom, that's insurance.
That's the commercials. That's literally what they say in the commercials.
That's what insurance is.
And literally, as I was saying it, I'm like, am I doing a Geico commercial right now?
Am I a fucking puppet?
Am I feel like I'm Flo right now. I'm like a spokesperson.
Am I Patrick Mahomes?
It's like, not the Mercedes, Daniel. It's the peace of mind.
Right. Exactly.
Like, there we go. That'll be our first sponsor for the pod.
I think we shit on every insurance company at one point in there.
Everything.
I mean, I am very openly fuck Progressive. I mean, they fucked me. Mm-hmm. And I like, but I mean, I'll do a State Farm commercial. No problem right now.
Yeah. I mean,
State Farm saved my ass.
Listen, and State Farm, this is a rivalry podcast.
Oh,
if you want us to put out a hit piece on Progressive, we are your people.
If two separate car insurance companies want to sponsor us to have opposing car insurance, and we just come and our ad space every week is just us fighting about whose insurance is better, I think that there are worse ways to spend advertising dollars. I will say
if they want to start the insurance wars, I'm about it. Mm-hmm. I will be on the front lines.
Yep.
Could you imagine, Dan, like, it's just both of us, and we're like, our rates are better than yours, and you're like, no, like, we got the bundle.
You pay for your rentals in the event of an accident? Could not be me, Tom. Could not be me.
Wait, you can't get home and auto? Loser.
You don't even bundle and save, my guy? Like, what? You don't even bundle and save. This guy is...
You can't even get 50%, bro. What are you talking about?
My mascot would beat the fuck out of your mascot, dude. Are you kidding me?
Flo would step on that Geico in a second.
The gecko would crawl up Flo's ass and expand and explode her like Ant-Man and Thanos, okay?
Oh, my God. I think it's for great content. I think we gotta slide in the DMs of State Farm. Just like, we'll send them this clip and be like, hey, like,
it's a no-brainer.
Whatever you guys need, like, you know, send us a budget. we got you.
We're flexible.
Whenever you need, we can do a lot with a little, but you know, the more you give us, the better, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
So come through with that money. I mean,
I'll make it like our whole third segment every week. Like, I'll just be like, all right,
I'll fucking turn this into an insurance podcast. Fuck sports.
I don't give a shit about sports.
If are you kidding me? It just brings me sadness and I don't get paid for it. At least I can talk about something and get paid for it. And
yeah,
you know what I mean? I could still be sad about the Rangers, but I just don't have to, you know, put it out for the public to see it.
But between two liabilities, coming to you soon.
Oh man, I'm having fun.
I love this show. All right, we're gonna get back to the game, I guess. What else even is there to talk about? I mean, well, I'm gonna go back to one of my points of confusion that I brought up earlier about the problems that you appear to be having.
Mm-hmm.
So Patrick Kane, you bring him in, you say, you know, he's still getting his feet wet, he's still getting used to this unit, he's gonna start putting the puck on the net, but like, it takes everybody time, right? Like, everybody coming into a new system, like, they need some time to just coast and just get their feet wet and just not have to produce right away. Just come in and vibe for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with that logic is the existence of Dmitry Orlov. Sadly.
Mm-hmm.
Who, through four games with the Bruins, has amassed 9 points, made even more questionable by the fact that, can you remind me what you pay Patrick Kane to do again?
Honestly, with all the, I don't even know how much we pay him. With Chicago kept.
No, I fucked that up.
Or do you want the full?
What do you pay Patrick Kane to do? I think I misworded that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, that's my bad.
To produce. To put points on the board.
Okay. You pay him to score goals. We walked through the whole process of what you do to score goals, right? Yes. Remember that?
Yeah, we broke that down.
Okay. We pay Dmitry Orlov to keep the puck out of our net.
Mm-hmm.
That is what we pay him to do. It's not even remotely his job to go out and score goals, which is what you pay Patrick Kane to do, as you just said.
Mm-hmm.
So where I'm getting even more confused in this situation is that we pay Dmitry Orlov to keep the puck out of our net. He has 9 points in four games, and he is also brand new in a new system after being with another franchise for an extended period. So can you help me through that confusion as well?
Well, comparing the two, right? Okay. Kane joining the Rangers, Orlov joining the Bruins. Orlov is joining a wagon right now. You guys are the greatest regular season team of all time.
I'm on to you, by the way. You keep making that slightly backhanded. It registers with me. The fact that you never fail to say regular season in that sentence. I notice it, just so you know.
It's the regular season.
I respect the game. I respect the fuck out of the game, because I'd be doing the same thing. But it's landing. I'm picking up what you're putting down every time, Tom. I'm fucking on to you.
I'm happy you are, because I love doing it. But, I mean, that comes... You know, being regular season champs, that comes with this sense of swagger. So he's joining this team that's got it figured out. So he's just kind of got to play his game. And Orlov has always been an offensive guy for a defenseman. He's always had a good offensive game. Mm-hmm. So he's jumping in the mix, and he also doesn't really have to do much. He doesn't have to worry as much on his defensive game, and can slide up in the rush. And you know, take some risks offensively when you have guys like Hampus Lindholm and McAvoy and a loaded blue line. I think, and do you guys have the biggest blue line in hockey?
I think you guys are the
tallest. I think
there's a lot of size back there.
I think I just saw a graphic that like the Devils are now like second, and you guys are number one. But that gives Orlov a lot of freedom to do what he's doing. And also, you guys just put up points like crazy. You have what's your goal differential this year? $130
It is hanging out around 110 right now, I believe.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. So I think
has lapped the Devils at 2. I think the Devils are in the 50s or 60s.
Okay.
Yes.
Which is ridiculous. Like, you guys are doing a whole lot of scoring and a whole lot of not letting the puck be scored on you. Mm-hmm. So Orlov is flourishing in that. And I can't see why he wouldn't. Back to Kane, you know, it's not the start you want out of him. Mm-hmm. I think I'm looking at the Bruins game. He had 2 shots on goal. It's not what you want to see. I don't know what would be the cause of that. But they just got to start shooting the puck. It's not that they didn't have looks. They'll be getting their shit together. And as far as I'm concerned, I know this is playing like that laissez-faire card, but like, just figure it out before the playoffs. And we got plenty of time to do it. I don't know when we play next, but the next game, I think we play tomorrow.
We both don't play until Thursday.
Thursday, Jesus Christ.
We both have 0 games between Saturday and Thursday.
Yeah, you're right. Which honestly, this rest probably comes at a great time. But
yeah, I think that helps you more than us.
Yeah. You guys want to play every day at this point. I hope they take this time. They figure things out. They scheme up some things. Gallant does something to shake them up a little bit. Not the lineup. I think the lines are fine. I think they just got to figure it out. And you know, we'll get Keandre back. Where was I going with this? The next game we play. Oh yeah, like the Thursday is going to be game 3 with Kane playing on a new team for the first time in his career ever in New York. Like, we'll figure it out. I'm not worried about Patrick Kane being on my hockey team.
It's a fair take in general,
you know. Yeah. And like, it's just, it still is surreal. And I think he seems like he is feeling the exact same way how I'm like viewing him on the Rangers. It doesn't feel real.
No,
I tweeted it on the on our Twitter account, how it's just like, it just screams franchise mode vibes.
Tom,
with the trade controls turned down all the way.
Yes.
And it's just bizarre. And like, Patrick Kane is a Blackhawk. Like, that is that we that's the way we grew up. That's what the league knows. Like, it's just weird having him on this team. And I don't know, maybe that is contributing a little bit to this like weird teenage phase of like developing this line. It's like,
yep,
they don't really know what they are yet. And it really is. It's just strange. Him with his kid and before the game started, and he's just like, I'm sure that his toddler was like, "Dad, why are you wearing blue? Like, what the hell is happening here?" Like, it's just weird.
So you bring up an interesting point. One, banger tweet, by the way. I told you that in real time.
Thank you.
What that felt like. Turning the sliders, the trade logic sliders, all the way down. We've all been there. Two, you're getting at a point that I wasn't ready to put into words until you just brought this up, but it's something that has kind of festered in my brain as well. Tom, are you ready to admit that Patrick Kane doesn't look as good in a blue shirt as you thought he would? It's not really doing it for me. And like, usually I can admit when like, okay, that guy matches that uniform, even if the team I don't fucking care for at all. It's not making my dick move. It's not.
So listen, this might sound blasphemous, but I'm with you in a certain way. Patrick Kane in a Rangers uniform, hot. Like, just him being on the team, hot. Love it. But And it definitely has to do with going from the best sweater in the league.
Yep. That's part of it.
And it's not that the Rangers don't have a great sweater. Rangers have a top five sweater easily in the league. But the Blackhawks sweater is the best sweater in the NHL.
Yes, but Chicago is one. It's not even and close.
He's really got, it's not. And I think interwoven into that too is his legacy there.
Yep.
Which I hinted to about. And it's such an adjustment because our childhood, it's like ingrained in us that it's like Patrick Kane wears a black bucket with a red or white sweater and black shorts. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? So like it's strange. And it's those, you know, forced trade vibes in NHL where it's like, this is like weird or like Ultimate Team vibes, or it's like, oh, that's weird. Like I had Pastrnak in Ultimate Team 1 year. And it's like, that's just weird. That just looks off. Like that shouldn't be a thing.
First off, shame on you for not having your Chell Ultimate Team in Whalers jerseys, because that is a religion for me. That is a non-negotiable. Like my Ultimate Team is going to be in a Whaler sweater every night, no matter what.
Ooh, okay.
I did switch it up to for a couple of games. I got the classic like Solani era Mighty Ducks, and they wore those for a couple of games. But for the most part, my Ultimate Team is the Hartford Whalers, because it not only is my home team, quote unquote, it adds another dimension of like, oh, this isn't even a team that exists anymore. I can build it in my own image. So there's no cognitive dissonance for any of these guys.
I give you a lot of credit for that, because that's a great take. I like that a lot. I forget who I had. I think it was Ranger sweater. I forget my alternate, but unless I unlock like a sick sweater of I pretty much just keep it with default Rangers. But I like that a lot, how you could build it in the image that you want a lot. Especially because, and you're like celebrating it, because that sweater's great.
Yeah,
people wish the Whalers still existed, so you're kind of keeping them alive in that respect. I love that.
It's a good time. But also, speaking of the Whalers, my other Whalers thought is that now that the Hurricanes are like kind of perennial contenders, it is making me think about the life that we could have had. Not in terms of like, not saying like I wish I was a Hurricanes fan instead of a Bruins fan, more in the terms of we could be rooting, you and everyone you've ever met who likes hockey growing up, going to college, we could all be rooting for not only a team together, but a team that is competing for a Stanley Cup together. Like growing up in Connecticut, it's so foreign to even think that like if a team wins a championship, you and all of your friends are going to be happy. Because that's what happens in 49 other states.
Right.
They're all claimed 100% either being in the same state as a pro team or being clearly in the territory of one other pro team or one other sports city.
I've literally had times where like the Giants have won, you know, the Super Bowl, and I had like one friend in my friend group to celebrate it with. And everyone else is pissed off because they're Boston fan or they're New England fans or they're Jets fans or they're Cowboys fans. Like,
yeah,
you know, you're absolutely right. There is not much unity up here. Probably has to do with a little bit of the geography. It's a little bit tighter quarters up here than the rest of the United States. But no, you're absolutely right. And I've thought about this a few times. Like, it'd be very weird if the Whalers were still around. Like, I don't know how that would be. I think I would still be a Rangers fan.
Really?
I'm growing up in Norwalk, I'm closer to New York than I would be Hartford, believe it or not.
Oh, that's close. But yeah, you are almost there. You're people write off Fairfield County as being like part of New York. I don't think it goes quite that far.
No, but
once you get into like greater Stamford, like that is like truly like a suburb of New York City.
Yeah.
And Norwalk is like right on the line. So I don't really know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, let's see, to get to MSG, it's like an hour on the train and like a little bit. And then like to get up to Hartford, if you hit traffic, it could be over an hour. Mm-hmm. But it's pretty much split down the middle. And then I'm going into more of like my family were Ranger fans.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I'd probably follow it in that respect, but you never know if the Whalers stick around, and I don't know. You never know where you're going to go. Maybe I'll dissent a little bit from the family and be like, no, screw you, Dad.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be a Whalers fan, even though my dad's not even really a hockey guy. But
okay. You know, well, that was going to be my next question. I know you don't come from like a big hockey family, but I was going to ask if your parents were Whalers guys before they left.
Mm. So my mom is from Long Island. My dad's from Westchester. And then my grandparents are from like the Bronx, Ozone Park in Queens. So my grandfather on my mom's side grew up a Rangers fan.
Okay.
Big time, like going to the Garden for like 15 cents. Sure. Watching like everybody play, Gilbert, like those heydays.
Yeah, back in the when I was still in school and I used to sneak in and take a peek over the fence days.
Yep. Yeah, essentially, right? The good old days. And then he moved to Long Island to raise his family and my mom. And that was the heyday of the Islanders dynasty.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of, I don't really know. I think he was still like true to the Rangers, but like he also was like, he has like an Islander signed stick that he won from. So I don't think he like necessarily like rooted for them, but like didn't like hate them like most Rangers fans do.
Okay.
Type stuff. And then like my mom said that because she was on Long Island, she was kind of like Islanders, but now she's Rangers. But my dad just grew up not really giving any crap about hockey at all until we came around.
Yeah.
But that's our, I guess allegiance per se. So I like Whalers weren't even like in the discussion. And the Whalers were around when my grandfather was around. So
yeah, it's so funny. Like my dad, and my uncle were big hockey guys too. My dad never really had a team. My uncle was a huge, huge Ranger guy, but like, it's funny. Like even with the old heads who liked hockey when they were around, it still kind of feels like they never existed. Like it's not like you have like an uncle or a grandpa who like has been into hockey his whole life. And it's like, oh yeah, like I'm a Rangers fan now, but like, here's my entire attic full of Whaler stuff. Like, yeah, I get that's why they moved, but also like you didn't have a tiny bit of like appreciation for the fact that there was an NHL team in fucking Hartford. Yeah. Like it's kind of weird.
I think it speaks to the original six.
Sure.
They have a big power in this league that it's kind of unspoken about. Like they people touch on it, you know, they're like, oh, like, this guy really wants to go to an original six team, or I'm really excited to be playing for, you know, an original six team. It means something in the hockey community big time.
Mm-hmm.
And like the legacy that those teams have just for being around since the beginning, and the championships that they've acquired for being one of 16, you know what I mean? Like the yep. Canadians have what, 12 championships?
Mm-hmm.
Well, and like
it's in the 20s, I think.
Oh, is it actually? Oh, yeah. Like it's something stupid.
Yep.
And so I think original six just carries that big time weight with fans.
Sure.
And maybe one of the reasons why the Whalers couldn't really capture the market, and yep. they're so close to Boston and New York. But I think that's a big part of it.
Yeah. Huh. But like, it's so funny. Like even when I go to Wolfpack games in Providence, like just how stoked I get to like rep my home mm-hmm. any chance I get. 'Cause you don't get any fucking chances. Like there's no opportunity anywhere, like other than pizza, to show your like your Connecticut pride and your Connecticut roots.
Yeah, and everyone shits on Connecticut because they're like, oh yeah, you guys are just fucking like got so much money, and it's like, well actually, like, no, like I don't, but like my neighbors do. Like,
yeah, if like, you're looking to me for this, you are going to want to look elsewhere. However, yeah, like, as a whole, like, I suppose.
Like, please don't make me feel bad. And like, because you think I have money and I actually don't, that actually makes it hurt even more.
Correct. It's the worst of both worlds.
But and like Connecticut, it's like so rich in sports. Like, it's such, there's great hockey, there's great baseball. Football is not that great. Good basketball. Yeah. You know, there's just so many good sports that come in New England and Connecticut, and there's no teams. Like, we have the Connecticut Sun, but you know, no one goes to those games, unfortunately. And I've been to those games, and honestly, like, for someone who appreciates basketball, it's cool to see how they play, because they play a different game than the NBA, and it's more fundamental. And for someone who likes basketball, it's cool to watch. Like I said before,
I was going to ask, like, that you might be the first, because I was going to ask, I literally don't think I've ever even met anybody who has been to one Connecticut Sun game.
Mm. I mean, and it's at the casino.
Right. Yeah. That's the, like, that's the issue.
It's not even like it's, I mean, it is out in the sticks, but I know people go to the casinos all the time.
Right.
They're not going to the game. Nope. That's going on there, but like it's there's not even the excuse of it's, you know, it's out of the way. Oh, it's in Connecticut. It's nobody's gonna go there. Everybody's in the city. Everybody's in Boston. No, it's they just don't go to these games.
The thing that blows is that it's even out of the way when you live in Connecticut.
Like, it is. It is.
Mohegan is a pain in the ass to get to, no matter where you live in Connecticut.
Yeah, it is. It is. But yet people still go to the casino.
Right.
Like, they still make that pain in the ass hour trip.
Right. Because it's like a destination.
Lose $1,000.
But nobody's doing that for a WNBA game, unfortunately.
Right. Like, right.
But you're going to gamble. You're doing that to see a concert. Like,
right.
Ugh, it's tough.
Yeah. There's a lot. Yeah. It's actually, yeah, there's a lot of like competition in and of itself by being next to the casino, because you're fighting with the entertainment. You're fighting. Yeah. That's a good point, actually.
However, with that being said, I believe they made the WNBA Finals last year. They lost, but they did make the WNBA Finals.
They did.
And I was in that comment section being like,
they were good.
Gang.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
You know?
Gang, gang.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, they're good. They stripped down their team this year. I think they traded away most of their good players.
Oh, the Suns are in a rebuild draft.
Yeah.
That sucks. Our glory days are behind us in Uncasville. Yeah. That stinks.
Yeah. I mean, we're probably one of their biggest fans just by knowing that they are in a rebuild. I bet you most people don't even know that.
I didn't.
Yeah. So there you
go.
But
now I do.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, all right. We have one more quick topic. We'll spend like another 10 minutes on this before we wrap up the show this week. We started talking about it last week. Now, spring training is in more of a full swing than it was last week. Teams are really getting their games under their belts. We got to really talk about these baseball rule changes, man, because in our lifetime, I don't know if there has been an off-season change to the fundamentals of a sport that has made a bigger overnight change than this. Like, I don't even think it's close. Like, the trapezoid in the NHL, that was kind of like an ADBC moment for hockey fans, for sure. Because again, the NHL just decided that Marty Brodeur was way too good, which I understand. Like, it's a fair take to say this guy is literally too good at this game. But between the bigger bases, which I can't wait for our first fiasco with the big bases, like the first like playoff game where they're going in and he gets it in by a millimeter. And then the opposing fans are like, well, the fucking bases are the size of a pizza box now. Of course he's going to be fucking safe. That's going to be the funniest one. But the one
I
want to talk about now is the pitch clock, which the pitch clock, we've already had a fiasco. where we had a walk-off pitch clock violation, which is bananas, a banana sentence.
There's been a few scenarios.
There
was the Scherzer fiasco that he struck out the side or whatever, and then they called it a violation, and then he proceeded to give up like 9 runs. Like,
yeah, he they hit into a double play, and that would have given them two
double
outs,
play.
And
yes,
then,
thank
and
you.
Then they gave up 7 runs in that inning.
Yes.
Can you fucking is there a worse pitcher? Maybe Bumgarner, but can you imagine being an MLB umpire and walking up to Max Scherzer and being like,
yeah,
actually, that was a pitch clock violation.
Yeah.
You and don't just, get those outs.
Him just staring back at you with his, you
with
know,
both of his
eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would not be a fun time.
Both of those dead eyes.
Yeah. No. So Dan, where do you sit on this? Do you like it? Do you not like it? Do you want to see it played out a little bit more?
I am going to have to see a regular season game that has meaning both on TV and in person before I form an opinion on this.
Okay,
I'm going to need to see both of those.
Okay. I like
that. Because everything in spring training is a little bit different. Like,
yeah.
You kind of just watch the games for the vibes, like, hey, I'm watching baseball. Like, I'm not putting pressure on myself to have an opinion this early in the game.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to opening day at Fenway, so that's going to be my first test. And then probably the following day, I'll watch it on TV. And, yeah, so probably 2-3 days into the season, I'll have, like, a vague idea of where I stand. But also, like, I don't even know if that's true, because you're going to have to watch a few different flavors of games with this in the mix.
Mm.
Like, there are a vast array of types of baseball games. And this pitch clock affects all of them. So I think I'm going to need to see it. It honestly might take me till the end of the season when I've seen offensive-oriented games. I've seen defensive-oriented games. I've seen playoff games. I've seen games that are tight. I've seen games that are blowouts.
I respect you for the open-minded approach to it, because my first visceral reaction to it was like, I hate this so much. Watching the game on television, I haven't been to a live game yet. I haven't been down to spring training, but I don't like seeing the clock on the live feed on the games. The countdown, it just triggers, like, okay, you got to get the shot off.
Mm-hmm.
You got 3 seconds to get it off, like in basketball, or like snap the ball, hurry up, like snap the ball, like the play clock's going down, like that type of anxiety. And
on
like
every pitch,
on every pitch. And the reason I love baseball, because it's so different from other sports, because it doesn't have a clock and you don't it's relaxed. Opening day is my favorite day of the year because it's springtime. It's starting to feel nicer outside. It's getting a little bit warmer out sometimes, you know, not always lately, but
yeah.
And it's just, you know, you sit down with your beverage of choice. Nothing else matters. And you just watch baseball being played. And this makes me now be like, maybe it'll wear off, but I'm like, oh, he's got to get it off type thing. And I don't necessarily like that. I think I'll come around on that eventually. But I also, another thing I don't like about it is, and we knew this was going to happen, and I don't fault them for doing it because it's what you should do as a competitor. But you're seeing Scherzer and other pitchers. Wandy Peralta, I think, took advantage of it.
Yeah.
They're using the one timeout that the hitter has against them.
Mm-hmm.
In that, so I'll explain it to the listeners. So what Scherzer has been doing, and brilliant on his part, is on like the first pitch of the at bat, once the batter is set, he is using up the entire clock that he has to get the batter to waste his timeout on the first pitch. Because then after that, you're at the mercy of Scherzer.
Yep.
And how fast he wants to go. And it's different for hitters because they've never had to do this in their entire lives. They've mm-hmm. never had to do this. You've seen Correa already forget that he's got to get back into the box, which is hilarious.
Yep.
It's just so different. And like, will the player batters adjust to it? Yeah, maybe, but there's going to be so many more strikeouts because of it. And I don't like how the pitchers are getting that edge now, where we're already seeing batting averages across the league be like, if you bat 250 now, you can make an all-star team.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I think it's going to negatively impact that. People will say like the shift will help bring averages up. Eh, yes and no. I don't think it's going to be a major impact on batting average, the shift, but
mm-hmm.
it'll only really help those players that are shifted on a ridiculous amount of times, like the Gallows and the Rizzos, those guys. Everyone else, it's pretty much going to remain the same. So right now, I don't like the pitch clock and the argument that, well, like, you're not going to see the pitch clock violations costing the games like they have been, because players will get used to it and they'll be better on it. Sure. I don't buy that at all, because like, you can't guarantee that a World Series game won't end on that.
Right.
I feel like, fine, if you want to keep it, if you want to keep the pitch clock, fine, but I think you need like a NFL type rule where it's like the last 2 minutes of the game,
mm-hmm.
you know, they have the reviews. There's different rules in the NFL in the last 2 minutes. I think there needs to be something like that in the last inning and extra innings. I think pitch clock needs to go away completely in the ninth inning and beyond.
I'm with that. I
don't think people would object to that.
I thought immediately this feels like a thing like the shootout, not in the same vein, but this feels like a thing you do in the regular season to make games a digestible length. And then you wouldn't dream of implementing this in the playoffs. Like, yeah. I thought right off the bat, like, this really seems like this won't be in the postseason type beat to me.
I follow. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Like the extra base. Or the guy on second base to start extras.
Yes, which they should also fix by, they should play the 10th normally. And then once you get into the 11th, I think then you bring the base runner on.
That's fair. You know, and I don't know, Dan, maybe I'm in the minority here, but does it really bother you if a game goes 3 hours?
It doesn't bother me. I like baseball.
Right.
The problem is, I really do think, unlike most of these rule changes that baseball has implemented, I really do think 2.5 hour games are going to bring new people in.
Really?
Like, I think if baseball can shed that it's 3.5 hours every single time, and if you're watching any matchup worth its salt, like Red Sox Yankees, it's probably going to be 4. I think if you can really shed that moniker and say, if you come to a 7 o'clock game, you're going to be out by 9:30. I think that's valuable. Like, I really, really do.
That's fair in the going to the games aspect, I guess. But,
or even if you're watching it on TV, like, it's not going to be the last thing you do that night is put on this baseball game at 7 o'clock. Like, you don't need to kiss the rest of your night goodbye. You know what I mean?
I agree. I mean, I'm not going to go into that game start way too late anyway, but like, because like, start a Sunday night game starting, you know, it says it's 8:15, but it doesn't start till 8:45 because of all the pregame bullshit. That's bad for the sport. It's good for your viewership, but you know, the 7-year-old who's got to go to school tomorrow isn't going to be staying up to watch that game. And that's bad for your sport.
8 o'clock starts need to go, man.
It's terrible. It's not good. Anyway, I've kind of viewed the pitch clock, to the purpose of it was to increase the popularity of the sport,
mm-hmm.
right? To get more people interested in baseball. I view it as a Band-Aid on a gushing wound that's still bleeding. And it's been bleeding for decades.
Sure.
And because the MLB has been greedy over the years with how they've you know, kept their content and their portrayal of the league so close to their vest, and they mm-hmm. can't grow the sport unless they're paid to do it. And now they're like, holy shit, we're losing market share.
Yeah.
We need to figure out something to make it interesting again. When you are the front runner in sports in America for a century,
mm-hmm.
and they just got so comfortable, and then you see the NBA and the NFL innovate and appeal to fans in ways that the MLB chose not to do, with like not embracing social media, not doing things the wrong way, needing to be needing every clip they need to get a taste of it, when they didn't realize that the true compensation was the free advertisement of the sport and the sport maintaining its hold in popular culture.
Mm-hmm.
Dan, this weekend I went on ESPN's and SportsCenter's Instagram page.
Yeah.
I couldn't find anything baseball related for a good, like, 3 or 4 long swipes.
Yeah.
I found Patrick Kane in a Rangers uniform twice before I found a baseball.
Oh my God. Post. The way that ESPN went out of their fucking way to make that illustration of Patrick Kane with the 3 cups in a Ranger uniform marching into TD Garden. What the fuck was that? In God's name was that?
For my point is that, like, literally, like, hockey is getting more shine than you.
Yeah.
That's bad.
Mm-hmm.
Baseball is younger and more exciting than ever.
Yeah.
That's how you get people more excited about the sport.
True.
Not shortening it. People aren't going to notice it when it's going from 3 hours to 2.5 hours, like they've decreased the games.
Baseball's had this this wave of like the best young talent that they've had in like Soto and Acuna and Tatis and all these guys.
And there's more guys coming.
Yeah, but we're 3-4 years into that at that point. That big, like, indisputable wave of like, this is the most exciting young talent baseball has had in a very long time.
Yeah.
And viewership is expanding. Like, it's true. Mm-hmm. But like, personally, maybe it's just because I'm in my 20s and people I know either like baseball or don't like baseball, but nobody I know has started watching baseball because of that. And I'm not saying that that's not an important aspect. What I'm saying is that if you ask anybody who doesn't watch baseball, who likes sports, why they don't, it's because it's too long. Like, that's just, that is just a fact. Like, so it's multifaceted for sure, but I'm more of the camp that like this is a demonstrably positive thing, I think.
Okay. I hope it will be positive.
Yeah.
I'm not rooting against it.
Sure.
I don't want it to impact the quality of anything. Mm-hmm. And the I don't want there to be any Mickey Mouse games or championships because of it. And I my take on it, like I said before, is In the example of this young generation of all of these exciting players that the young baseball fans that do exist are so excited about, Julio mm-hmm. Rodriguez and all these guys, that the MLB threw the opportunity away to really, really reap the benefits of this youth movement because they let the game get boring. And mm-hmm. if you want to take it even a step further, the public started to dislike baseball when they realized that the league was trying to, you know, force their entertainment with like the steroid era, where they kind of just let it happen because it was good for the sport in that year, in that 5-year window. But I think they lost a lot of people in that they let the integrity of the game go. I think that's also another piece of it, not to, you know, go off into that, but there's, I think the reason we're at this point is baseball was played for a century and a half where mm-hmm. games were 4 hours.
Yeah.
And that's even an exaggeration. Most games of the past few years, they were three.
Well, the entertainment alternative was just being scared of the sun at that point. So I don't know how much that argument really holds water.
In that it was like the only show in town, you're saying?
Yeah, no, like, yeah, it was either go to the old ball yard, go home, and just be afraid of whatever that big orange thing in the sky is. Like,
that's,
it's,
and that's fair. And like, people back then, they weren't as like now as we are as a culture now because of technology and social media. But like, football games are over 3 hours. I'm sorry. Like,
that's true. That's true.
NBA regular season is some of the most boring television sports around.
Kill me.
So like, miss me with that baseball is boring. Like, because it's long.
I don't think baseball is boring because it's hard for me. I like baseball.
I'm not coming at you.
No,
I'm coming at the people in general. It's like, it's hard for me to wrap my head around, and it'll be interesting to see how this thing plays out. But I just hope it doesn't like completely implode on baseball.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we'll see. Any huge change like that is going to be super polarizing, and every fan's going to have a different take. But me, like, I'm a little bit optimistic about it. So I guess we'll see how it goes.
I'm hoping I can join you on that optimistic train. And I am, you know, despite of how I sound right now, I have my opinion of it now, but I am going to try to keep an open mind about it like you. And like, it will be interesting to see it live at a game. Mm-hmm. It will be, that will probably be like, whoa.
Yep.
And maybe it'll even be like a little bit better, because depending on where you are, you don't even see the pitch clock.
Yeah, that too. And but I think, also, I think like when I go to games, and like when I go to a 7 o'clock game, that's the rest of my night. When I go to an afternoon game, I've like cleared the majority of my day to be there. When I'm at a game, I am kind of the mindset of, I wish this was 5 hours. Like I would just sit
here 100%
all day if I could.
100%. I know. I don't want this to end. Yeah.
Yeah.
I completely agree.
But yeah, I guess we'll see over the course of the year. But for now, Tommy, do we have anything else for the people before we wrap up a particularly strong and particularly fun episode of the Between Two Gardens program?
Yeah. Yeah. It was, there was a lot in this one. I don't know. We're no Rangers or Bruins until Thursday. Knicks are hot right now. We didn't talk about them. They just beat the Celtics last night
in double overtime, because Jason Tatum still thinks he's Kobe Bryant, which is something we really need to work on. He's good. He thinks he's Kobe, and it's what fucks us in the ass every time we lose a big game.
Mm. So it's, you know, at least, you know, the Knicks are a little bit fun right now. The East is like, sorry, the West is a bloodbath. It's the inverse to hockey, but
I was gonna say it's the bizarro NHL.
Yeah, so we'll see. A lot to look forward to there in the basketball world and others. Ready for baseball too, man. Like,
I'm so ready for
we haven't even talked about like who the fuck is gonna be our shortstop, because like It's gonna be IKF. I could just see it, and like, everybody's lighting it up. We have like seven different options for shortstop, and I'm being very pessimistic, and I don't actually think this, but like, there's a lot to talk to, and we'll get into it in the coming weeks with the Yankees. But much to be excited about.
I hate that I'm now sympathetic to the thing that I always used to clown on the Yankees for being poverty for, which is the fact that you have not had a steady shortstop since fucking Derek Jeter. Mm. And now
Didi did a great job when he
fell. Yeah, I guess.
Didi, right. He fell off big time, but after the Yankees.
But now I'm getting ready to watch my gold glove center fielder, Kike Hernandez, play shortstop. So I don't love joining you in this boat, but also we're looking at being a bit underwhelmed at positions that we historically at least both excel at.
If you want a below average shortstop for $6 million a year, we got one for you. You know, if Kike wants to go back in center and spell Duran, we could do that.
The thing is, like,
He wouldn't be terrible for you guys, I don't think. Like,
no.
He does put the ball in play.
PK is so excited about being shortstop, though, and it gets me so excited, even though, like, the whole time I was like, you will put Kike in center every day, and you will not even fucking consider doing otherwise. But now in spring, all spring, he's been like, I am so fucking excited to play shortstop. I am getting better at it. I came up as a shortstop. I'm going to be playing next to Rafi. Like, he is so stoked about life right now that, like, I'm taking good vibes wherever I can get him. So
there you go. There you go.
Go ahead, Kike. Sing to your heart's content out there, Kike. And on that note, we'll see you next week. Please, if you haven't gone ahead and followed us on Instagram, if you haven't gone ahead, followed us on whatever platform you're listening to us on right now. If you haven't followed us on Twitter at Between Two Gardens Pod is the Instagram handle. That helps way more than you know. If you haven't told a friend about us, please do that as well. Word of mouth helps us more than anything else. But for now, we hope you have as good a week as we're having. Enjoy the relatively low-key sports week we have coming up, and we will check in with you next week.
Here comes a 1-2 pitch.